Lord Jesus. I've been teaching a series in the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks or thereabouts, which is to lay the foundation for the theme that God has given us this year. The word that God spoke to us that becomes the theme for us as a church this year to run with is that this year is the year to pursue, to overtake, and to recover all. Amen. So we've been laying the foundation for people to have understanding so that, as again, look at it, the first quarter of the year is gone. March is almost ending. So it's been, see, we use 1 Samuel chapter 30, the whole of that chapter, as the anchor text for this message. And so in the course of going through that scripture, that particular chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, the story of David and the Amalekites at Ziklag, there were several lessons, and we've picked on them, teaching us those lessons which can help us as we journey through life also. So I think I will be wrapping up this morning. So the remaining lessons in the between verses 23 to 31, we'll look at it. I know some people are probably coming here for the first time today, and they probably haven't been part of the previous teachings. Again, it's a day of celebration, and we try to keep to time. I don't want to spend too much time going back to everything, but that story is about David. David anointed to be the king of the Israelites, and along the line he was ordained, but he could not enter the throne. He could not climb the throne. He could not mount the throne. And he had issues in his life. He started running up and down. I pray that anyone that is usurping your position, taking your seat, your position, God won't sit them for you. Amen. And that throne you occupy it in the name of the Lord Jesus. So he had that issue running up and down. So along the line, he went to the camp of the Philistines that were traditionally known to be enemies of the people of God. And, you know, I don't want, because of time, I have a very little time. And all of those, he was in the wrong place. He went to seek for help in the wrong place and all of those. And we pray for you also. May you not seek for help in the wrong place. Eventually, he was disallowed from fighting because they were not sure that, okay, when the Philistines wanted to fight the Israelites, and he now went to join with the Philistines. I'm like, so what's going to happen when we get to the battlefield? Supposing you go against us and begin to, and you now join with your people. Anyway, so they had that fear, the Philistines. So they disallowed him from joining them. So they sent him back and his people. He had about 600 men going with him. And they were disallowed by the Philistines. So God also stepped in so that he doesn't go into an additional error. He had been in the wrong place. Now he wanted to join the enemies to fight his own people. And this was the man that's been anointed to lead them as king. So God stepped in. Anytime you are about to make a mistake, a terrible error, may God stand in to step you. May God arise to stop you from going into error in the name of the Lord Jesus. Error can be deadly. I hope you know that. So, that was that. Now, God was still at work. Many a times, God be doing some things. We don't know that God is at work. Even when it looks like it's a bad thing happening. Now, by the time he was disallowed and he went back, by the time he got back to the place they had given him to sojourn, we call that place Ziklag, another enemy had come. They invaded the place because all of them left to go to the place of battle. And they left their wives, the children, and the aged. So they came back. There was no resistance. They had a field day. And they carted all of their things, took their properties, their cattle, their wives and children, and they took them as slaves, and they took them away. So by the time they returned, and then they burned the city, they set it ablaze. So by the time they returned, they met a burned city, empty city, all wives and children left. They got distressed, they cried, they wept, they even attempted to stone and kill their leader. May God defend those that he has raised as leaders for his people. At times you face crisis that your own people, your own family, they rise against you because they believe you have done something wrong. So it was a lone leadership position, especially pastoral one. It's always lonely, but God is always with us. So what did he do? He was distressed, and he saw that was by himself. Nobody was, you know, supporting him. So the only place he could find solace was to go to the Lord, to go to Jesus. So he went to God in prayer to seek counsel, to seek direction from God. What shall I do in this situation? Here we are mourning, crying about lost treasures that have been taken away. Everyone that has taken away your treasure, something valuable, something of treasure to you, this year, God will take them back for you. Of course, that's the key thing, you know, pursuing. What are you pursuing? They've taken, why would people weep and be distressed if what was taken away or stolen was not of value? But these are treasures, your wives, your children. So he saw the face of God, and God gave him an assurance that go. He instructed him. He said, pursue. But not only are you going to pursue, you will surely recover. When you seek the face of God, have that assurance. God didn't just say pursue. He told him to, that he will also recover. It might look stupid that why would he go to ask God? That instinctively, your wife has been taken away. The default mode is just begin to pursue and be seeking after your lost treasure or whatever is, you know, whatever your property, whatever is taken away. But he still sought the face of God. Should I? Some would just by default don't even ask God that, just go and do it. That's the needful, that's natural. It's normal that just seek after whatever was stolen from you. But he sought the face of God. Never cease from asking God before taking some decisions. Of course, every decision, actually. We shouldn't just... But there are some decisions that could be... that are very critical. Don't just take some major decisions without seeking the counsel of God and making sure that you have the assurance. The assurance was important because in case he encountered any issue in the course of pursuing, he can boldly tell God, but you asked me to go and you have given me an assurance. He can then focus and hold on to the word of God that I have an assurance that I'm going to recover. Hallelujah. So that was another lesson. So several lessons, just for the sake of those that are coming for the first time. And then he pursued. And with the 600 men, despite how weary they were, the journey from the place of battle back to Ziklag was 50 miles, and it took 3 days. They were weary. They go home. They met another disaster, another crisis. And so, but because of the love of their precious ones in their heart, they were not deterred. They regained strength. I don't know what the story of your life has been over the years. Maybe you have been wearied, you have been battered. I pray that strength will arise for you this year. You need strength to pursue. Strength to pursue and engage the enemy. It's time for the offensive. And don't sit at the fence. You need to fight to get what belongs to you that the enemy has stolen. So they were strengthened. Now,
And they went to pursue. 600 men were going. And all of a sudden, they got to a point. There was a stream. And some of the men had been so wearied that they could not cross. So, 200 of them became so weak to continue in the journey. And so they stopped at that spot. And the rest continued on the journey. So 400 went with David. And they continued. And as they were in search, pursuing, they spotted a man on the way. And this man was half dead. They could have ignored him. Because what was paramount in their hearts was to get to where those invaders had taken their wives and their properties. That was their preoccupation. That was what was paramount in their hearts. That was what they were pursuing. That was their goal, to recover. So why would they pay attention to a half-dead man? He could as well die in the desert, in nowhere, where he was found. But they didn't do that. They paid attention. They had compassion. They were moved with mercy. Many Christians are so wicked and full of hatred. I don't know whether those qualify to be called Christians, though. So, despite that, they allowed bowels of mercy to flow. And they had compassion. And they stopped. They paused. They didn't say, I'm just going to pursue after this thing that I'm pursuing. Many people are pursuing so many things. And mostly things that don't have eternal value. You neglect God. You don't have time for the things of God again. Career. Job, money, dollars, fame, position, power. That's what is in the, on the minds of so many. So they paid attention to this man. And they went to him. Maybe we can help you. They helped to revive the man. And the man was revived. As you pursue whatever you are pursuing, don't close your eyes. Who are those around you that may still need your help? That interrupting what you are pursuing just for a moment to attend to a need in the life of someone. Of course, you also have a need. You are also pursuing something. But don't close your eyes to the needy around you. Be filled with compassion. So they paused. They interrupted their routine, their schedule. Like I was saying, allow God at times to interrupt what you are doing. It's important. Give God attention when it comes. Don't be preoccupied by what you are pursuing. Allow him. It could be for good. It could be for your own good. When God slows you down. At times, you want to maintain that speed. Yes, good to have speed in the journey of life. But at times, it could be a good caution when you allow God to interrupt what you are doing. And you pay attention to God. It can save you a lot deal. Moses was doing his routine. Shepherding the flock of his father-in-law. And he saw a scene that interrupted him. And he paid attention. And he put a hold on what he was doing to pay attention to what he saw. And that was where he got the call. That's why you are hearing about Moses today. If Moses had not interrupted what he was doing, just said, no, what is all this? Let me do what I'm doing. Just keep on shepherding the flock. he would have missed it. And that was his second opportunity. After he wanted to do it in the wrong way in Egypt, he ran. And now God came again. God never spoke until Moses paused to pay attention. God will not speak if you are not paying attention. So, they never knew that God was also going to speak through the half-dead man. You can believe that this man is useless. That brother, that person, what does he have to offer? Useless. That African enemy. You never can tell. A useless man can become useful for you. What men call useless can become a tool in the hands of God. So they paid attention, but guess what? It paid off. Every mercy and favor and kindness that you show to another person, it will pay off for you. The information you need, God is sorry, you need to move fast. The man had the useless half-dead man was the informant they needed to lead them to the place of recovery. The person you need that will take you to the place of destiny might look useless, insignificant, but he knows what you don't know. He was positioned there at that junction of life. That bus stop you are getting to, God has positioned somebody to help you. If only you give him an attention and help him. So, he was helped and the man was revived. He came back to life. Help to nurture somebody back to life. Christians these days, they are good at killing, helping to kill their wounded soldiers. They will gossip about you. Oh, that sister is an ashewo. She's a prostitute. You don't know only money. He steals. Yes, he has issues in his life. What are you doing to restore her or him back to life? And that person can in turn be used by God to meet the need in your life. And the man gave them the information they needed, and they were led to the hideout of the robbers. May God lead you. May God give you the information that will lead you to the hideouts of the robbers. Those that have stolen from you, that thing that is very of treasure, of value, that you need to pursue. That's what you are pursuing. You need it for your survival, to live a decent life, to become somebody. You need an information. You need somebody that knows what you don't know, to put you in the right path, in the right direction. Hallelujah. So they paid that. If they had not done that, guess what? They might just be roaming. They had no clue. They had no clue. They had no clue. Where to go? Direction to follow. They could have been going for days and still never be able to locate where they were. But because they showed mercy and compassion, they got information that led them to the place of recovery. So they went there, they saw the enemies marrying and enjoying, and they began to kill them. God will destroy every unrepentant enemy of your lives. So they met them where they were partying, celebrating surprisingly or whatever was the word to use there. They just started to kill them. 400 escape. Your own enemy. They will not escape. Yeah. Except they repent. they will not miss that sword. Say amen. Except they repent. Enemies of Resurrection Chapel, except they repent, they will not miss the sword of God. It's time to recover. So anyway, they recovered, and glory be to God, David the leader, he recovered his wives, and all of the other soldiers, they recovered everything. Thank God. God made sure that they had not messed up or molested their wives. And they got everything back. And they wound their return march back to their place. Now, they were coming. So those are the lessons that I think I need to go through tonight. I mean, this morning. They were going back. So they got back to the brook where they left 200 men that were so tired and weary and could not journey with them to the battlefront. So they got there, everybody saw their wives. Of course, they brought their wives for them also. Thank God for they were nice. They didn't say, well, since they didn't come with us, I'm going to leave that. Lord have mercy. You know, some people in this country, some of us, we are immigrants here. You will meet some people, because I've seen them, I've heard them, I've known some of them. They will say, no, you got to go through what I went through. They are bad people. Say, go and pay your price too. Suffer a little. Why? God has sent you as an ambassador, a deliverer, a savior for me, a Messiah. Give me the information I need. You know, there are some people like that. You say, no, let them, they were with, let them, when they refresh themselves, let them go and fight their own battle and recover their wives and their properties. They didn't say that. They took them along for them. And so they met them. They were happy. They rejoiced. But then, something worthy of mentioning, we should also take note of that. They got there. They now, all the again, they recovered their things, and they also took the booty from the enemy. And so some of the people that went with David, they said, well, give them their wives and their own flock, but let them not share from the booty of war. Ha. Praise the Lord. That is not good. I'm trying to look for where that is in the story. Verse 23. Now, can somebody read verse 23? 1 Samuel 30 and verse number 23. 1 Samuel, yes. Amen. So, 200 men, they spotted David and his brother and his other force coming. They rushed out to meet them. They are the conquerors. But some people were not happy. They do not have a joyful heart. They didn't see that victory as the victory of the Lord. They thought that they were the ones that conquered by their power. And so they said, we are not going to give these other people to share in the plunder. They thought that they were lazy folks. But that's not it. But thank God for the leadership in the grace in David. He intervened and he demonstrated a good spirit of wisdom and justice. Spirit of wisdom and justice. May it not be lacking in our leaders. David told them that this victory was the Lord's victory. Therefore, let them be sharers in the plunder. Let's give them gifts also. It's the Lord that protected them. It's the Lord that gave them victory. Let them share. Of course, they were tired. They became weary. They could not cross the brook. So, thank God for David. There are some people, remember the Bible has always said that there will be the weak ones. The strong should carry the weak along. Let's not ignore them. Yes, they are weak, but they are our brothers, they are our sisters. Let's carry them on our shoulders.
I know there's some crazy proverb from my place that you are carrying your own load and you are still carrying another person. Why not? You understand what I'm saying? You see, there are a lot of people who understand. They say, it's like what you are carrying is enough. Why carry another? But then, that's not Christ-like. Christ-likeness expects us that as you are carrying your load, give a helping hand to another person. So you can, as long as God has given you the strength and the grace, carry the burden of the other person. Of course, you have your own too. Don't be selfish. So, and that was it. So they shared, and David also shared with them. And that was it. He didn't stop there. So when they arrived back in Ziklag, the spirit of generosity continued in David. He sent some plunder as gifts to a large number of city leaders scattered through Judah. So all of the goodies they brought back from the war, he was generous. That's just the message. Generosity. He began to share. People in Judah, he sent gifts to them. Neighboring cities, he sent gifts to them. He was generous. Please be generous. Now, you will see what happened thereafter. He sent gifts to people in the leaders in Judah. What was he doing? He was building relationships. People of God, let's build relationships in the church, in the community. He was building relationships with leaders of various territories. Relationships that were going to help him in unifying and consolidating his nation. He was reaching out to people. He was building bridges. He was building relationships. He was reaching out in our community. Let's reach out. Let's reach out. As he was doing this, do you know that within 3 days, God killed his enemy? While he was reaching out to all these neighbors, building relationships, giving out gifts, and God's all of that, in 3 days, Saul died. And all of these people now helped to bring him back to occupy the throne. So, all that had that was happening, God was preparing him for the eventual journey to the throne. Returning back to his base. Not staying in Ziklag. Remember, Ziklag was burned. 3 days, he came back. He wasn't, instead of wasting money rebuilding Ziklag, God paved the way for him. He has built relationships. All the people around Jerusalem, Judah, all of those, they sent for him. The throne is now vacant. Your enemy is dead. That throne that the enemy does not want you to occupy, this year you occupy that throne. Opposition shall be silenced for you. Enemy, whoever is occupying your position, God will remove them for you this year. Year to pursue. Year to overtake, year to recover all. 3 days. Let's not be greedy. We can learn lessons from this story, not to be greedy or to treat others unfairly. Take away greed and be fair to people. People that are greedy, all they seek is for more and more. Continue to hoard what they have. There are needs in the church.
God didn't just bless you so that you can ride a good car. I'm not saying riding a good car is a bad thing. I love to ride one too, if I have the money. So, but a greedy heart is not good. A greedy heart is consumed by lust. Lust for more pleasure. Just getting all you can, canning all you get, and sitting on the can. Get all you can in it, sitting on the can. Let's not be greedy. Greedy souls always be lusting for pleasure, for comfort, for possessions, for wealth, more and more, for fame, for position and power. And usually greedy people mistreat others. They mistreat others. They hardly reach out. They hardly give a helping hand. They hardly meet the needs of people around them. Sometimes a greedy person is aroused to cheat and steal in order to get more and more. They are consumed with getting more and more. Loss of the eyes, loss of the flesh. Let's learn the video. I pray that if we apply all these lessons that we have learned in this teaching, God would take us. Remember, David never knew that it would happen so soon, that God will remove his enemy and that he will possess his possession, the throne. He recovered everything that the enemy stole. He reached out to people around him. But one of the things, as I round up this morning, one very important thing that I want everybody hearing me this morning to pursue. I don't know, you probably have lost something. Hardly is anybody here that hasn't lost something in life. Valuable things. But there is nothing more valuable than relationship with God. If you look at where this story started, the first thing that David did before he embarked on the journey of pursuing was he reconnected with God. He prayed. He sought the face of God. He asked God. He sought after the broken and lost relationship with God. If you seek after that and you get that, there is nothing, no other treasure valuable that you have lost that you will not recover. If only you can recover your relationship with God. What has been your story as a Christian? You call yourself a Christian. What's your relationship with God? Coming to church does not make anybody a Christian. Sitting here is not what makes you a Christian. Maybe you are just here to rejoice with some the man of God that is celebrating. Maybe you are a member of the church. What is your relationship with God? Cordial? Good? Cool? Is there any relationship at all? If there is none, you can see God at work in all of these things that we so many of these lessons. God is at work. I pray that this year, you will seek after reconnecting with God. Amen. Above any other thing. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If that is settled, you can be assured that other things that you have lost or other things that enemy have stolen, this same God will guide you into recovering them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to cry to God this morning. I want more of you. I want more of you, Jesus. The more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus. More of you. We want to seek more of Jesus this year, 2023. I want you to sing that song prayerfully. Are you telling Jesus this morning that I need more of you? I want more of you,
Jesus. The more I know you,
Jesus. The more I want to know you, Jesus. More of you. Tell the Lord this morning, help me to reconnect with you this morning. Help me to walk on my prayer life. My prayer life will not suffer. My communion with Jesus will not suffer this year. I will reconnect with my maker, my creator. For he alone can guide me and show me the way. My relationship will be more intimate with Jesus. I will not be consumed by the pursuit of career. I will not be consumed by the pursuit of money. I will also pursue Jesus. I will seek after him. I will have a better relationship with my maker this year. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to make that pledge. I want you to make that decision this morning as you are hearing the word of God from my mouth. I want more of Jesus in my life. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. It is satisfying to have Jesus. I want more of you, Jesus. The more I want you, the more I want to know you, Jesus. More of you. Jesus is inexhaustible. You can never have enough. May you desire Jesus. May you hunger after Jesus. Psalmist says, as the deer pants after water, does my soul pant after. May you pant after your maker this year. May you seek for more of Jesus. And may Jesus give you direction in life. May Jesus take over your battle this year. May Jesus recover for you all that you have lost. Everything that has slipped out of your hand this year, you will recover with the help of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Teach us also to apply those lessons to our lives. For all of those things, those blessings, they have condition. If you do them, if you do these things, happy are ye. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed.